Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello there, welcome to a brand new Arsblog Arscast right here on arsblog.com. Hope you're well, we've got a great show for you today. I say we, I think that's just a turn of phrase, isn't it? Because it conjures up images when you say we have a whole team of people busying around, researchers, producer, sound engineer in there behind the glass, making sure everything's up to date and all that. But there is no we, there is just I and my booze. Very lonely sometimes doing an Arscast. Nevertheless, I can cope because I've got my booze. So, on the show today, I've got the man from East Lorre to talk about everything that's going on. Internet Joe, of course, will be here with his roundup. We've got a tale of the unexpected from George. Andre Arshavin is here. We'll be looking ahead to the Manchester United game on Monday. Leaves a quiet weekend, doesn't it? But that's all coming up, as well as looking back at the games in the league, which have left us top of the league and qualified for the knockout stages of the Champions League. So that's really what there is. Oh, and not forgetting, of course, in these cold times as the new Ice Age dawns, something to keep your neck warm, not a snood, no, a Savile Rogue scarf. I get the sense, though, that if Arsenal players knew that there was a Savile Rogue snood they could wear, imagine going out playing a game of football with a beautiful cashmere snood on. Rio Ferdinand talking about how Man United players would never wear a snood. Well, he hasn't got a cashmere one, does he, in red and white? No, then he might change his mind. The wonky-lipped cunt. But that's all to come between now and the end of the show. So, what's happened between the last Arscast and this one? 2-1 win over Fulham at the weekend. Sounds fine. Fulham are a difficult team. But really, we made that game a bit more difficult for ourselves than we should have. We opened the scoring through Samir Nasri, fantastic goal, and probably should have scored more in the first half hour. And then, when one centre-half headbutts another centre-half, it generally doesn't end well. And so it was that Fulham got their equaliser, capitalising on that particular communication mistake. I don't know what the French for my ball is. And on the evidence of it, neither do Koscielny and Skilacci. And you could see the impact that had on the team. The heads went down and it was like, oh, I can't believe we've conceded again. How did that happen? I mean, they should be used to it by now. And Arsene Wenger's comments during the week were a little bit confusing to me in the sense that he doesn't really seem to think there's a big problem with us defensively. And I'm not talking about just the defence. I mean, defensively as a team, even though Arshavin spoke about it in the press conference before the Partizan game. And I looked at Alex Song's role. I know we're playing with sort of two holding midfielders and they take it in turns to go forward. I realise all that. But what we need is better balance. For someone to tell Song that when we're 3-2 up, as the main defensive midfielder, as the guy with the physical presence and the experience in that role, it would be better for him sometimes to just sit there and break up the play and give the simple pass rather than bomb forward to try and get us another goal that we don't necessarily need. So I think, the balance is off, and I'm slightly worried that the manager isn't doing an awful lot to address that and seems to be quite happy just to outscore the opposition. But maybe that's something we can check in with the man from East Lorre within in a few moments' time. Midweek against Partizan Belgrade, again, we went ahead, got pegged back through poor defending, and I didn't really have any worries that Partizan were going to go on and win that game because Partizan were, frankly, rubbish. Absolute cannon fodder in the Champions League, as were Braga. And made a bit of a balls of the group, and it makes our next game a little bit more difficult than it should have been, but nevertheless, we're qualified for the knockout stage of the Champions League. Theo Walcott scored a goal. Samir Nasri scored another goal, his 12th of the season, and the guy is playing so very, very well. And I suppose you can't really argue with the results. Performances you can pick apart, and it is a bit confusing in the sense that, you know, we're top of the league, but there are these issues, and it's hard to escape them, but we're top of the league. So, I don't know. We can address those again, maybe with a man from East Lower now in a few moments' time. In the meantime, with his 30-second roundup, here's Internet Joe.
I'm Internet Joe, and here's my 30-second roundup. Fulham at home, 1-0 Nasri, that's the start we want. We go on and win this now. Song scores. Oh, howdy, mister. Scalacci, you're supposed to head the ball, not Cassiani's face. Oh, fucking Chris Kamara scores. We're shy, we're going to lose. Nasri, get in there. You just made Billie Jean King come. Champions League, Partizan 1-0. Oh, they score, not again. If this feeling was Israeli, it'd be Deja Jew. Theo, yes. Nasri, yes. Oh, I'm very cold.
More from Internet Joe on next week's Arscast. Still to come, your chance to win a Savile Rogue snood scarf. We'll be looking ahead to the Manchester United game, some of the team news, the early team news on that. We've got Arshavin, we've got a tale of the unexpected coming as well. But now I'm delighted to welcome back to the Arscast the man from East Lower. Hello there.
Hi there.
It was start of the season when I spoke to you. I'd be curious to find out how you're finding this season, because it seems a bit weird to me that we're sitting here in December. There's sort of an air of confusion, I might say, in the sense that we've lost four games, and we've lost three of them at home, and there were fairly painful defeats in their various ways, yet we're sitting top of the league, and maybe we should be happier. I don't quite know how to feel at the moment. What about you?
I know exactly what you mean. It's there shouldn't be anything to moan about, you know, being top of the league. And I'm sure if you asked any other fans from other clubs, they'd sort of deride us for it. But it's weird. I mean, I suppose at the beginning of the season, when all we'd have asked for, and probably all we did ask for, is just to be sort of up there and challenging, and we are. So on that level, things are going really very well, but at the same time, yeah, you look at the team on the pitch, and sometimes you kind of wonder how they are up there.
The defensive issues obviously are the ones that are troubling most people, because, you know, it doesn't matter who we play, we look like we can concede at any time, and generally no matter who we play, we do tend to concede, with only four clean sheets kept in the league this season. Is it possible that we could muddle through? Are we depending too much on the flaws of others, and the fact that Chelsea have fallen away and United have drawn a lot of games and haven't quite clicked the way that they normally do? Can we muddle on like this, or is there a pressing need to address these problems before they become not more influential, but before they have a bigger impact?
Well, yeah, firstly, yeah, people say that we're not consistent enough. But, you know, as you said, we are consistently letting goals in. So, you know, you've got to say on that level, we're extremely consistent. But
it's the wrong kind.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. It's so hard to say. Ultimately, I look at the defence now, and I look at some of the goals that we let in, and you wouldn't put money on us being first in May. I mean, you really wouldn't, unless you got good odds on it, and you're, you know, wanted to make a bit. But ultimately, it doesn't look likely. But at the same time, all the other teams are slipping up as well, and maybe some of the other teams have got better in standard, or all of the teams at the top have lost a bit of their quality. And if that's the case, and it carries on like this, then of course we can win it. But it seems to me that the league is crying out for a team that will put its foot down and, you know, go 10 games and win most of the games. I will it be us, though? And I just can't see it. We just haven't shown that kind of consistency at all this season. We'd go two or three games, we win, and then we'll lose one, or we'll draw one, which is, I think we need to go on a bit of a run, but I'm not quite sure whether we're ready for it.
You know, while we are top of the league as well, we're in the Carling Cup semi-finals. The draw is quite favourable indeed. And we've qualified for the last 16 in Europe. Now, obviously, we've made life in Europe a lot more difficult for itself than it might have been, because finishing top of the group would have given us a much more favourable draw than finishing second, because we've got one of either Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich or Schalke. Teams that you wouldn't necessarily want to play at this stage of the competition. Do you have any real worry about that, or is it just, you know, it's knockout football now, you take what's given?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'd actually quite like to get drawn against Barcelona or Real Madrid. I mean, ultimately, to me, it's what the competition's all about, and you could delay the inevitable by a round or two, but personally, I'm not quite sure what the difference is, whether you go out in a blaze of glory in the last 16 or in the last four. And if you want to get to the final and win it, you will have to meet an absolutely fantastic team at some point. Mm-hmm. So why not now? It doesn't actually bother me at all. There's nothing more exciting than having a massive night against Real Madrid or Barcelona at home. It'd be great fun. Mm-hmm. So, I just think you could delay it, try and get Schalke, and then you might get to the semis or something, but you're still going to come up against an absolutely cracking team, and you're going to have to face that at some point, aren't you?
Hmm. Oh, well, yeah. Get the pain over early with it. This is what you're saying, I think.
Well, it's not even so much as pain. It's not so much as pain. It's an absolutely fantastic game. You know,
sure.
It would be such a great game that that's kind of what you pay your money for, and to get drawn against these clubs. As long as we're not sort of losing 4-0 after 6 minutes, then... that's what it's all about for me. I think it'd be great.
All right. We'll look at the league then, because last weekend we stayed top with a win against Fulham. Again, we sort of have those defensive issues where we made life a lot more difficult for ourselves. But, you know, on the basis of the first half hour, perhaps it's not fair to necessarily point all the fingers at the defence, because we dominated the game and created a good few chances. So maybe the onus when the defence is as shaky as it is, and I think Andre Arshavin hinted at this when he was talking to the press before the Partizan game, that, you know, we do need to score goals when we make the chances. So maybe we should be looking a little further ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. We're better going forward than we are defending. I mean, that's stating the bleeding obvious, really. And when we click going forward, we are a brilliant side to watch. But sometimes wonder, really, Wenger's quite happy for us to concede goals and to play a high line, and on the basis that he thinks we'll score more. And it's a dangerous tactic, but if it works... Mm. Be pretty fun.
What did you make of those comments during the week? Because that essentially is what he said. He said, we're not always going to get punished when the opposition have their first shot on goal. And what happened on Wednesday night was Partizan scored with basically their first shot on goal. So his attitude or his philosophy seems to be, dare I say it, a bit Ardiles, in the sense that he wants to go out, and if we concede two but score five, he's relatively happy. He'd rather do that than win 2-0, you get the sense at sometimes.
Well, certainly you get the feeling that he's not too vexed by it, and either that or he's just incredibly laissez-faire about it, but he seems quite relaxed about it, really. And whereas the rest of us, we sit here, you know, as you say, top of the table, Carling semi-final, Champions League knockout stages, and yet we're talking about how leaky our defence is. But he does seem quite relaxed about it. Maybe he's just trying to protect his players. I don't know. I mean, no doubt about it. We really do need to tighten up somehow. Quite know how we're going to do it, but we do.
All right, we'll pin all our hopes on Thomas Vermaelen. I think that's about the only thing we can do at this moment in time. Samir Nasri scored the two goals against Fulham. He scored again in midweek in the Champions League. For some reason, I keep getting Champions League and Carling Cup mixed up this week. I'm not sure what it is. But what have you made of Nasri so far this season? He's just been outstanding, hasn't he, really? I mean, people have spoken about whether or not he's liberated because Cesc isn't in the team and Cesc has been out injured. But from my point of view, he's a guy who's actually stepped up and taken responsibility this season in the absence of Fabregas.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's just come on leaps and bounds. There could be many reasons for it. It could be because he didn't play in the World Cup, and people often argue that, you know, after a World Cup year, players take a long time to get back into the swing of things, and he didn't he had the whole summer off. That might have helped, I don't know, but whatever the reason, he's just absolutely stepped up to the plate. He's been by far and away our best player this season.
Were you expecting that from him, or did you know? I think we always saw the flashes of his ability. You know, the goals that he scored in the past, particularly the one against Porto and those goals he scored against Man United that time. But he hasn't ever been able to produce consistently, and maybe the fact he stayed more or less injury free is a big part to play.
Yeah, I think his approach play was always pretty good last year, but like you say, he just didn't score enough goals and. Kind of yearned for ages for him to score more, like that one against Man U. You know, when in fact, he scored twice that time, didn't he? It didn't seem to happen, but he's just a man massively on top of his game. You can tell his confidence is high, and pretty much everything he touches is turning to gold. And the two goals against Fulham were just absolutely delightful. I mean, they were just fantastic in their different ways. They were just sensational.
Mm.
My only worry, and that would be being a miserable git that I am, is can he keep it up? Can he keep up this form all the way through the season? It would be great if he could. If he can, then he's going to get sort of 20, 25 goals even this season. That would be an awesome return.
Right, let's look ahead to Manchester United on Monday. Quite why it's on a Monday evening is beyond me, obviously for television, I suppose, but... it gives us the whole weekend to sit and stew and worry and wonder and think about what team he's going to play. And are we confident? I mean, the fact is United have a game in hand. If we win there, you know, we put paid to that game in hand, extend the lead a little bit because you'd rather have points.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's on the board than a game in hand, etc. Are they capable of going there and winning the game?
Yeah, definitely. Our away form is really very, very good. So I think I'd be more worried to play them on Monday night at home than I would be away. it just seems to be a bit of a mental block there. But away, yeah, I think we can go there and win. I'm not saying we can do it with a clean sheet. That seems highly unlikely to me. But I think we can win there. Yeah, why not?
And it is a big month as well, because following United, we've got Stoke and then Chelsea. So big, big games for various reasons. Of course, Chelsea, because they're, you know, one of the title contenders, and Stoke, because they're a pack of fucking cunts who we want to beat. So it's going to be a real test the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it really is. Some massive games for us. Having said that, Chelsea have got a run of massive games too. And yeah, they always say that if you can sort of negotiate the Christmas period and come out the other end still in touching distance, then you're with a good chance, and that's what we've got to try and do. But it's I think we're doing as well as I can possibly have hoped in terms of league position this season. I think we're doing great, and I think we'll be there or thereabouts in the new year as well. So it's just kind of cutting out the real anxious moments. That would be great.
Maybe you might get that for Christmas. Can't see it happening, though.
I'm going to write to Thomas and ask him for a Thomas Vermaelen.
A Thomas Vermaelen. One, and a spare one, just in case.
Two or three, actually. Why not? Yeah.
All right. Okay, listen, man from East Lower, we better leave it there. Thank you very much.
No problem. Cheers.
Thank you very much indeed to the man from East Lower. You can find him on his long-running blog at eastlower.co.uk. One of the longest running ones, really is. Back in 2003 he started. We were reminiscing a bit back when the internet was all fields. I remember that. You can find him there, eastlower.co.uk, or you can find him on Twitter, twitter.com/eastlower. Man United still to come, Savile Rogue scarf still to come, other bits and pieces still to come, but now, Arshavin.
Hello, I am Arshavin, and this week has been good week for football because beat Fulham with two goals from Nesri. He is like a dancer, like Baryshnikov. And also winning Champions League, to make qualify for next round. And before game, I have time to talk to press, and I make joke. And press laugh, and now I am thinking I can do this standing up comedy like at party last week when this big Irishman stand up and talk and everybody laugh. I have no idea what he said, though, but it was good. And later I have emotional time because his anniversary of my grandfather's death was very important person in my life. Have spent a lot of summer in his house and he teach me many things. I remember the day he died, I am in bedroom and he is on his bed of death. And he called me over. His voice is like De Nielsen, weak. And he called me over. And I never, ever forget his final word to me. He say, Andre, Andre. And I say, yes, Grampy Papa. That is my name for him. And Grampy Papa say, I have killed many children and hidden their bodies in woods. Oh, I miss Grampy Papa.
We'll have more from Arshavin on another Arscast in the future. Probably. So now, Savile Rogue scarf time. And they are, of course, the finest scarves known to man. Cashmere, red and white, so fetching. And last week I asked you to name me the Arsenal player who went to Fulham, a right back, and most of you answered Maurice Valls, and that was the answer I was looking for. A number of people answered Peter Storey as well, which is true. I hadn't thought about that, but I accepted those answers as well in the spirit of, well, I would say Christmas, but it's not Christmas, but in the spirit of generosity and excellence and being nice, I accepted those answers too. But Chad Palumbo gave us Maurice Valls as the answer, and Chad Palumbo is the winner of the scarf. So, Chad Palumbo, I can't help saying your name like that, sorry. I'll be in touch with you, Chad Palumbo, and I will get your address, and you will get yourself a Savile Rogue scarf to wear around. Now, as the question last week was based on the opponents, the question this week is also based on the opponents. So, here's the question. It's a fairly tricky one now, so you might want to give this some thought. Who is your most hated Manchester United player of all time, and why? So who's your most hated Man United player, and why? Send your answer, please, to competition@arsblog.com. That's competition@arsblog.com, and you can win yourself a Savile Rogue scarf. And why wouldn't you want to? I don't understand why millions of people don't enter this competition. If you do want to buy a Savile Rogue scarf, for a Christmas present, because who wouldn't want one, you can get yourself a 10% discount at checkout by simply using the code ARSBLOG. So that's all you have to do. Put in ARSBLOG at checkout and you get a 10% discount on your order from Savile-Rogue.com. So there you go. Right then, we'll be looking ahead to the Man United game after this.
Welcome Unexpected on the Arsblog Arscast.
Hello, my name is George, and I've got another tale of the unexpected for you. This week I've been mostly hanging around on the internet. No, not there, I know what you're saying. But I've been doing a bit of the old PayPal here and the MasterCard there. You know, a bit of revenge for the WikiLeaks. But I've had time on me hands, you know, because my brother Larkin said, I can get a load of iPads, are you in? And I said, Jesus, that'd be brilliant before the Christmas. Everyone would be looking for those. Sanitary towels that play MP3s do not have the same demand, let me tell you. So I've been hanging around on the Twitter. I've got a name. I'm not telling you what it is, though. I'm very private, you see. So I've been following a few people. Lady Gaga. That's because people said he's got bigger balls than I do. I don't believe it. I've got the most grossly swollen, misshapen bollocks you ever saw in your life. But I've been following the stream to see if I can find evidence. Also, J. Emmanuel Thomas from Arsenal. I hear that the club are looking to send him out on loan. Jesus, they'd want to be sending him to a Swiss finishing school. What is he talking about at all? I can't make head or tail of it. And Rio Ferdinand. I saw him there saying about how he wouldn't catch any Man United players wearing snoods. No, but we'd catch you on your holidays wearing a pair of skimpy denim shorts with your arse hanging out, Rio, wouldn't we? You filthy little bastard. Anyway, it reminds me of the time I got into a bit of the old international narcotics dealing. Me and Rio Ferdinand actually put some money in together. We were going to set up a supply all across the UK. Things went wrong, though. We were supposed to turn up and sample the goods, but on the night in question, he was nowhere to be found. There was a drug test, and Rio didn't show up. Now, that was unexpected to me.
Right then, time to look ahead to the game against Manchester United. And I was going to say this weekend, but of course it's not this weekend. It's Monday night. I can't remember the last time we played a game on a Monday night. And I can remember the last time we beat Manchester United, though. November 2008, Samir Nasri with both the goals. Since then, United have won 4 out of the 5 games. Has it been 5 games? Has it been more than that? 5 games. It was a 0-0, I think, at Old Trafford. Real end-of-season fare, and nobody particularly cared about that. So we've got a little bit of score settling to do, I think. It's been too long since we've got a result against them, and too long since we've got a win. Last season, you know, it was typical Arsenal. We should have won that game. We were a goal up, and then there was the stupid penalty and the stupid own goal, and, well, what can you say? We've got to take this chance, I think, because we've been too reliant on other teams falling away and doing bad things. And, you know, if we can win this game, it means we claw back the game in hand that United have and we open up a decent lead over them. So it would be very interesting to see if we can go and do that. The team news is that there's still a big uncertainty over Cesc Fabregas. Now, I was reading Cesc's Twitter and he's hopeful that he can play and he's feeling all right, but the manager says a big uncertainty, and 2 or 3 days before the game, that doesn't fill you with a great deal of confidence. And personally speaking, I think if there's any doubt at all as to Cesc's fitness, then we should err on the side of caution, because regardless of the importance of the game on Monday, it's not crucial, it's not decisive, it's not season-defining. It would be better if Cesc was fit, but it would be much better for us if Cesc was fit in the long term. Let's not forget that following United, there's a home game against Stoke, then there's Chelsea, then I think we play Manchester City in early January. So there are big, big games ahead, and it would be much better to have a fully fit Cesc Fabregas for those games than it would be to have Cesc back and for him to do an injury to himself. The other team news is Kieran Gibbs is out after his injury against Partizan Belgrade. He'll be 3 weeks out after spraining his ankle. Gael Clichy will be back. Johan Juru also likely to be fit after being rested during the week with a thigh injury. And I would like to see Juru and Skilacci as a centre-half pairing. I think the manager will stick with Skilacci and Koscielny. And I think that could be a bit of a problem. I think Juru and Skilacci form the best partnership. Juru is more physical, is better in the air, and I'm not trying to play down Koscielny here at all. He's had some dodgy moments, but I'm willing to accept the fact he's undergoing a fairly steep learning curve. I think Juru and Skilacci should play on Monday night. What he does up front remains to be seen. I'm not sure that Van Persie and Shamak really hit it off, but then it's very difficult to expect that to happen after just one game. So whether he plays Van Persie or whether he plays Shamak or both together, we'll have to wait and see. Arshavin, we need a better game from Andre Arshavin than we got from him in midweek. He's a big, important player. Well, he's a teeny tiny, small, important player, but in games like this, we need him to show up. He was trying, I think, on Wednesday night, in every sense of the words you might think of. It didn't come off for him at all. As for United, what can you say? They haven't lost a game so far this season, home or away. And that, to me, is a little bit worrying in the whole invincible side of things. So it'd be nice if we could inflict that upon them on Monday night. But we're going to have to go out and play very, very well. We're going to have to be good defensively. I hope that there's a little bit of focus on the defensive side of things and how we can improve without stifling the attacking side of our play. For me, the balance is important because if you can defend better, you can attack better. And I think that's maybe where we need to look. And I hope that the manager addresses that before the Manchester United game, and we're just a little bit more sensible in the way that we approach the game. So fingers crossed we can get the result. A 5-point lead over them at this stage, by no means insurmountable, but far, far better than being where we've been in seasons past. And going into a very busy and a very difficult Christmas period, I think we need all the points on the board we can get. I think they're there for the taking. I hope we can do it. So I'll talk to you all next week on the blog, all weekend on the blog. What do you do all weekend when there's no Arsenal game? You have to spend time with your family and things? Well, I don't know. I know the words, but they don't make sense to me. Anyway, I'm sure we'll muddle on through. We'll wait for Monday night and a good result and talk to you then on next week's Arscast. So until then, take it easy. Have a great weekend. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hello everyone, Tony Adams here with another poem on the Arscast. But instead of a poem, it is Beatnik Freestyling. And it's all about Arsenal's central defence that I have been watching with a keen eye in recent weeks. And it is called... It Don't Have No Title, because it is Beatnik Freestyling. Koscielny, oh, Skilarchy, oh, don't loaf each other. Loafing, people, is for Chelsea players outside nightclubs. All you have to do is talk, 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 and then clear the ball. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.